Hi, everyone, and welcome to the special simulcast of the Neil Haley Show and the Dr. Christopher Hall Show. I'm excited to welcome first my co-host, Nobel Prize nominated doctor, award-winning author and emergency room doc, Dr. Christopher Hall. Dr. Hall, how are you? Thank you again for your service, and I know you're excited about our guest today.
Well, I'm very excited about our guest today, and I'm doing great. Yes, Zoom, we have one today. I'm very excited. A director... actor of film, television. We certainly know him from West Side Story, from Steven Spielberg's adaptation. Very excited to welcome to the show, Mr. Curtis Cook. Welcome to the show, Curtis.
Thank you, guys. It's really great to be here this morning. It's a beautiful, dark, gray, gloomy morning, so we're going to make this very cheerful.
I was hoping for dark, gloomy. In Texas, the Texas heat, I've been dealing with 100, 105 per second, so you're talking dark and gloomy. I kind of would miss those days in the Northeast of 74 degrees in June. All right, go ahead with your first question for Curtis. Okay.
No problem at all. Curtis, tell us a little bit about kind of where you're from, how you got into acting.
Oh, cool. So I'm originally from Dayton, Ohio. I'm born and raised. I'm the oldest of five children. Clifton and Alice Cook are my parents. It's one of those things. I have a good friend of mine who used to say to me that I didn't choose acting. Acting chose me. I did like school plays in like the seventh and eighth grade. Once I got to like the high school area age range, there was an organization in Dayton called the Muse Machine, which was really great for young children. And it took all the greater city, Ohio City area children and put them into like this whole big kind of drama club, I'll say. And I got involved with them through my 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th and 12th years. And they did this big production at the end of each year. They did it at a Broadway size house. And roughly around my 10th, 11th, and 12th grade years, I started to get the leads in those musicals that we did. So I was like, oh, I think I got something here. and the woman that was running them, Miss Susie Pisani, saw me one day, and after this was my 12th grade year, and I was about to leave to go into the Navy. I had signed up for the Navy. I was about to go in, and she was like, what you gonna do after you graduate? And I was like, yeah, I'm going to the Navy. I'm gonna go to the Navy, come back, work at Montgomery County Engineers, get me like a little $30,000 a year job, get me a nice little house on the side. I'm set. And she was like, no, darling, you have too much talent to go to the Navy. And she helped me get into, she set up this whole audition process for me, helped me get into this school in London, England, this conservatory, Melbourne Theater School. So that was the beginning, and the rest was history after that.
So, you know, Curtis, how thankful were you that opportunity, especially in Dayton, to have that opportunity to be able to be discovered in that way, change your whole life and transform you in so many ways?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't be here now if it wasn't for that. Okay, see, this is where the dog gets involved.
I'm not hearing it, Curtis, so don't worry. We're good.
This is when, if it wasn't for her and it wasn't for those opportunities in school and those teachers, I had another great teacher in high school, Miss Patricia Copeland, who nurtured and cared for me because I was a bit of a knucklehead growing up. You know what I mean? I was getting into some things that I shouldn't have gotten into. And these teachers saw that I had more to offer than that. So I say that those opportunities were fundamental and that they were necessary. And I'm hugely grateful for them.
All right, fantastic. All right, Dr. Hall, next question.
Yeah, wow, that's incredible. And then teaser areas for you and see your talent. So now, did you start off in stage, Curtis, or just compare those two? I mean, what do you enjoy more, the stage or the film or anything?
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, it's almost like comparing your children. You know what I mean? I have five of them. So you really can't. You know what I mean? All of them have their things that are going to make you upset, and all of them have things that you love unconditionally. So it's funny enough, I'm doing a play as we speak right now at the Public Theater, and it's just the opportunity to be able to do all of them. I'm totally grateful for what the stage has taught me as far as time management, as far as character development, as far as the repetition of material, and so that allows you to find new Ways to enter the character sometimes, and television and film, film definitely doesn't offer that as much because, you know, you're kind of hitting this character for 6 months or so, and you kind of stand in this one place. But television can kind of offer that because within each episode, you have a different direction that that character may be taken in, unbeknownst to you, because the writers have taken over. But I can't really compare them like that. I know this sounds corny, and you probably hear it a lot, but I need all of them. I feel like they're that trifecta of them is something that needs to be there, that strong triangle that makes it solid for me, gives it a solid base.
And that's so true. And again, you talked about the structure that it develops in stage and different things. You learn to be an impromptu. And so when you audition for things, you're able to monitor and adjust, because in theater, you basically have to do that because you never know if somebody forgot a portion of a line or somebody had to be replaced last minute. Yeah. There's a lot of different things than taking 17, 20, 50 different takes. And it probably drives you nuts when you're like that. Cause guess what? You're live in front of a performance and there's all these people. You can't take a second take. I'm a former professional wrestler and I can't take a second take when I'm in the ring with somebody. I can't go and say, oh man, you just messed up the spot. Okay, let's stop and go back to the next thing. And that really helps you in acting, doesn't it? It kind of really hones you in to say, hey, I'll hit my lines the first time, not the 15th time. Even if you ask me to shoot 10, 12 times the same segment.
Yeah, and that's exactly right, Neil. And also in theater as well, you have a longer rehearsal period. So you're more comfortable with the people that you're working with. You're more understanding of maybe what this person has to offer and what you don't have, so you can compensate and, you know, overcompensate. And sometimes on a film or television set, you're meeting those people on that day. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, so you're starting to do this scene and you're like, oh, I don't know. Okay. You know, so if you want to call it a safety net, isn't there as readily as it is for a stage, because you've probably been rehearsing the piece for maybe 4 to 6 weeks before you even got to the stage.
That's such a good thing. Okay, Dr. Hall, next question.
With no problem, you know, and then we interview actors and film stars, they tell us how difficult that is to make it in the field of acting in Hollywood. So, Curtis, tell us about your first big break,
particularly
in film.
Wow, a big break. I'm waiting for my big break, y'all. I'm waiting for my first big break. But I remember it's because there are a lot of those, you know, those are a lot of pivotal moments for me that changed my life. I remember when I first got my first national commercial. That was a big deal. I remember when I got my first national tour of a play. I remember when I got my first, you know, small role on a television show, Three Lines. So the big break, you know, I know what you mean by that, but I don't want to have people think that there's one thing that's going to, you know, skyrocket your career off. It's all of those things combined that turns out to be, and somebody be like, oh my God, where did they come from? It's like, no, they've been here for 15 years, you know, doing this job. So I do know that a funny story is I was on Broadway doing Miss Saigon, and I had gotten a small role on this new TV show. It was a new TV show at the time called The Job with Dennis Leary. And I was like a day player kind of role. And my one line was, it's an arrow in a tree. I was a uniformed cop. And I said, it's an arrow in a tree, because somebody through the park has shot an arrow in a tree. And a guy comes up to me and said, what's this? And I say to him, it's an arrow in a tree. He said, oh, that's brilliant. Great, thank you. So I was like, okay, great. You know, I went home, whatever. It was a one day of work and I came back going to my show. Then I got my check. And I was like, whoa. The check was almost a little bit more or even equivalent to my Broadway weekly check.
Oh my goodness.
And that's when I was like, okay, I'm going to need to figure out how to do a little bit more of this television thing over here. Because they're paying me like this for this one day of nothing in my mind. I need to figure it out. That's a little funny story to show that, of course, there's a lot more that's involved with getting those little television roles. But yeah, it's a process, man. It's a process, all of it. So the big break comes when you continue to stay the course and stay the line, I think.
So Curtis, would you say with West Side Story, how amazing was that when you got the opportunity to be part of that?
Come on, man. It's Steven Spielberg.
Exactly.
It's West Side Story.
Exactly.
it's a character that wasn't in the original. So now they're creating it around what you have and to offer to the piece. It's a dream of a dream of a dream. You know what I mean? It's something that you don't even dare to dream because it seems so far-fetched. And you're like, you know, maybe once I reach, you know, Denzel, Sidney Poitier, you know, Yaphet Kotto status, maybe I can start dreaming of something like that. But to have it happen in this instance on that kind of film was truly, truly amazing. And I thought that having done Shutter Island when Spielberg, I mean, with Scorsese was like, you know, a topper. I was like, oh, they can never get better than, you know, me sitting here with Leonardo and Ben Kingsley and Mark Ruffalo. But then here comes West Side Story. You know what I mean? So it's once again, it's all of those small steps that leads to the journey, right? I mean, that leads you to the to your destination on this journey. So I'm grateful, man, and I just keep pounding away and keep doing the work that I love because it doesn't feel like work. It just feels like I'm out here just having fun, man. And it's people like, oh my God, you're so amazing. I'm like, at what? I'm so at what? I'm just, okay, thank you. Thank you. I've learned to say thank you and move on. But in my mind, that monologue is like, okay, I guess it's good, you know, but yeah.
So in talking about experiences with those amazing people that you, I guess, not idolize, but really honor in a way because of working, because especially as a trained actor, I look at anyone who's trained in the theater, that they look at these specific people that you mentioned you've worked with, and especially in the acting industry, it's just gotta be amazing just to be just rubbing elbows with them and being on the same set with them and saying, I can't believe this. Did you ever think this, growing up in Dayton, Ohio, this would happen to you, right? To be with Scorsese, to be able to, right. to DiCaprio, to be with Steven Spielberg. You know what I mean? You gotta pinch yourself.
That's so true, Neil. And you know, the first time that really ever happened for me was when I did a play called Ain't Misbehaving. It's a musical. I don't know if you remember. It starred at the time. It was from the 70s. It was Andre DeShields, Nell Carter, and Amelia McQueen. I can't think of I can't remember the other. Ken. I can't think of his last name right now. Excuse me. But so it was a time I was just listening to that CD when I was growing up in high school, be like, I would love to do this piece. I would love to do Ain't Misbehaving. Fast forward, I get to New York, I'm auditioning, and at this auditioning, it ends up being that Andre DeShields is directing a production of Ain't Misbehaving. I go in and audition for Andre DeShields. I end up getting the role, playing the role that Andre DeShields originated. We go into this small theater up in Cortland, New York. The costumes, Andre DeShields hates the costumes that they have for me. He goes home because he kept his original Broadway costumes. He tailors them down to me. I wear the original Andre DeShields. So that's one of those moments was like this boy in Dayton, Ohio, who listened to this soundtrack of this musical, never even thought in a million years that he would have an opportunity to maybe do it on stage. But now he's doing it in front of with the man who originated the role. And that's one of those pinch yourselves moments. And I don't know if you know who Andre DeShields is, but he's a Broadway legend. He's a legend in his own right. And so that kind of set the course. So as I began to meet other people that I kind of idolized or admired, because what he taught me was hard work. I'm just the person. You are just as talented. And when you walk into a space with that, not even more, less, it's just that we're all here to make something beautiful, right? We're all here to do the same thing. And moving in into spaces after that, it kind of gives you a relax. It's like, okay, oh my God, I'm sitting across from X, Y, and Z. It's like, okay, relax. Right. You both have the scene, you both have the work. Let's do it. Just do your best and do what you are able to do. And 9 times out of 10, if you focus that way, a lot of the mystique and all that goes away. And then they kind of look at you different, like, oh, up here. Okay. So now let's go. Let's do this then. Let's wrestle. You know what I mean? I'm going to show you this new move that I just made up or whatever. So it's amazing. I'm honored. I'm fortunate. I never forget about how fortunate I am with any of it. And I'm living a dream. I'm living the dream.
That's fantastic. All right, Dr. Hall, next question.
Oh, no, I just wanted to ask Curtis a little bit about his experiences with directing and is that he's kind of getting more into.
Which acting, he said.
Say that one more time. I missed it.
He said directing. How, your experiences in directing.
In directing. Oh, right. So directing, I used to have a theater company here in New York City. It was called Tupacueti Theater Company. And the theater company came out of, and still actually to this day, and this was back in the late 90s, early 2000s when we started. There is no repertory, Black repertory theater company in New York City. There are theater companies, there are theater spaces, National Black Theater Company, Henry Street Settlement Company, but there's no repertory company like say, for instance, what they have in Chicago. I can't think of it right now, just escape me, but it'll come to me later. Like a repertory company where the same group of people, they do like a season of whatever. And that made me very angry. Why not in the capital of theater, New York, that there isn't one? So we started this company. And in that, because it was us and on our own, we had to write our own stuff and begin to direct our own things. And primarily I would do the directing and the writing. And what quickly began to happen is that a lot of interest start to come because we were doing very interesting stuff. We were doing very realistic kind of breaking the fourth wall kind of pieces. And so we got a lot of attention from the New York Times and other syndications. And then we started to get all this other attention. And I began to be like the artistic director of the company. And I started to do all this kind of paperwork and meetings or whatever else. And I was like, I didn't come to New York to sit behind this desk and write and direct. And so my directing kind of quicked me in it because I was like, I there was a future in it, but that wasn't what I came to New York to do. I came here to act primarily. Maybe I'll get back to that. It's not the same passion. I don't have the same passion for directing as I do for acting or even producing. I will help out. I would give my information, my knowledge, my assistance and anything, but I really enjoy just finding characters and finding unique and different ways to bring them to life. That's what I really enjoy.
Fantastic. And I think it's the key thing is you look at this and you say to yourself, you like the directing end, but you found what your passion is. This doesn't feel like work when you're acting and you're directing. There's a lot more work involved and you enjoy where you are in your career and where you're going. And I think that's important. So let's talk about the chat. I've got to go back into my notes. I think I've interviewed somebody back when the Chai first came out. I
have to okay.
As you see, I'm, again, the number 12 celebrity podcaster in the world, according to Feedspot. So I interview celebrities all the time. So I don't know. I know for a fact I was on a tour with the Chai. I'm almost proud to look back. But tell us specifically your character in the Chai and what's it about, the premise.
So the Chai is a coming of age television series that's centered around this community as in the south side of Chicago, Illinois. Hence the name Chi-Town, you know, the Chi. So, this is our fifth season. We're going into our fifth season. I joined the Chi in the second season of the Chi. My character, his name is Otis Duda Perry. He has been known to being called a gangster. And then, surely enough, he became the mayor of Chicago. Some people say that ain't that different. But he also used to own like pizza, these pizza parlors. And he still does. So he's this businessman gangster. And he was one of the head links of the 63rd Street mob that was behind the scenes that nobody ever saw. So he's kind of a puppet master. He's very suave, very debonair, very well put together, and he can be very dangerous at times. Very dangerous.
Interesting. And so, how do you play? Like again, Mr. Theater actor from London. How did you change as a gangster? Tell us some of that preparation time to learn more to play the gangster as Mr. Theater. You know,
well,
people think of, you know, when you get certain casts and you're like, come on now, I could go and have a dialogue with Ben Kingsley, some major thing. And now you have me playing a gangster. So, you know,
but, you know, sometimes people say, you know, sometimes the work has already been done before you even get to the role. Sometimes people say a life that you've led before just somehow just happens to coincide with what you're doing currently. That's not the case here. But what I will say is that A lot of research, man. I tend to go back to a time in Black culture and I mean America's culture where films were considered not the best, which was called the Black exploitation time, because I feel that in some of those films, there's a grittiness, there's a truth that can be extracted from. So I for this role in particular, I would focus on some of those, and then I would go and look into the lives of some of the real life gangsters that have, or gang members or gang leaders that have led that have that live in certain communities, and I would kind of research and follow back and just see what in common might I have or not have with these individuals. What is their real through line? And I found that in some of the cases, I mean, like I'm a member of the Phi Beta Sigma fraternity, incorporated, and like Huey P. Newton, was also a fraternity brother. So if you were to look into why he began the Black Panther Party or why he was involved with it, you would see that it was about community. It was about, what standing up for your community and what that means. And I also feel that this dude to Perry, he also cares about community and what's happening in that. So there was a lot of parallels in that. So I would gather all this information up together like a big stew, right? And try to figure out what nuggets to bring out in this particular scene, in that particular scene, or on this particular day, or in this particular episode.
I see. I find that's very interesting and intriguing in so many ways of playing that character, understanding that. Think about when you talked about those times when the characters were not portrayed in the correct way. You look at Robert Townsend, he really changed all that from his film. I've interviewed Robert too, and what a talking about and how things have developed and hopefully where do you see things going for the Black community when it comes to film? Where do you see finally that the typecasting will stop and more you'll see the right types of roles happen? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, the right types is a tricky phrase. You know what I mean? Because I think that there has been great opportunities, and there will continue to be great opportunities. I think that where things are moving now is very encouraging. You know what I mean? With the streaming networks and all the different outlets that are around, giving a lot more people opportunities just to put their ideas up. But in that too, sometimes it's like anything. When the floodgates open, everybody comes in. It's going to take a little time to kind of weed out. Okay, you know what? That was cool. Now we just need to kind of weed out what's necessary and what's just kind of noise, But it's all good. You have to get there first, right? You have to just kind of bust in before you can see who needs to stay and who can't stay. And some of those people that bust in, they're just busting in because they can, not because they really want to be there. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, there's a sale over there. Okay, let me get into there. And it's like, oh, I don't need a shovel. Why am I here? Let me go back home. You know what I mean? So I'm very optimistic about where television and film is heading right now, especially for African Americans and for all communities, for the LGBTQ communities as well as for Asian communities. There's all of it is exciting. I just
Exactly,
listened to,
all of it.
yeah,
The
to a
special
podcast
needs
about
community as well, certain special needs actors that have
yes, exactly.
more the roles. Absolutely. All right, Dr. Hall, can you summarize Curtis for us?
We know with no problem. And just listening to Curtis, and I certainly agree with everything he said so far about the strides that have been made in acting, as an African American myself, just seeing so many years. And he's been part of that. And so he's given us a great message this morning for our young people. He said, work hard. He said basically, if you're in the room with these talented people, believe in yourself. Look, you're just as talented, okay? Go with your passion and do with what you love and believe in yourself. And so, wow, I'm just so excited that we had Curtis Cook on the show this morning. So thanks for coming by, sir.
Man, thank you guys for having me. It's been
I
great.
appreciate it
Really
too,
great.
Curtis. And again, Dayton, Ohio. So you're a Midwest guy. I consider Pittsburgh Midwest as
Oh,
well.
yeah. My dad's from Pittsburgh. My dad's from Pittsburgh.
Okay, great. This will be on the Pittsburgh station as well. So if he's, yeah, so just great type of place, Pittsburgh, just like Dayton. And I remember back in the day wrestling in Dayton. So I remember always taking that travel out from Wheeling all the way to Dayton, Ohio, and then all those different places, just straight up, straight shot, Columbus, all those. So appreciate you coming on, Curtis. The where can we check out the latest episodes and stuff right now? Or when is the newest season start for The Chi?
So actually, we start the first Friday, June 24th. It's going to be available on streaming. And then on the 26th, that same episode 1. And then every Sunday after June 26th.
The Chi is available all over, and great. And Curtis, you can check you out still on West Side Story. People can check you out there, and then all these other things and other projects. Do you have any other projects coming up that you can
there may be a quick sighting. I don't know if you remember Manifest, the series on NBC.
I'm a huge fan of Manifest. I've interviewed
so there may be a sighting of Rad coming back on Manifest, so keep your eyes open. I can't say too much.
I'm waiting. I got to catch up. I got to talk to NBC because I do tours with NBC and I interview some of the major stars from Manifest. It's one of my favorite shows. And I'm just going and checking Netflix. I'm like, man, still. So it's still rolling. That's great. I love that show. It's a fantastic show and continued success, all these different things. And keep up the great work, Curtis. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you guys a lot.
All right. That was the Dr. Christopher Hall Show, guys. Take care.